Good morning. Meditation is the key to preparation. It determines the direction and the degree of consciousness unfolding this day on earth as it is in heaven. We can only experience our own consciousness, and so it beholdeth each and every one of us to fulfill that obligation of meditation unto ourselves, because out of that unfolds and appears to us our experience of the self that we each individually are. We can blame no one. That's one of the difficulties with the infinite way. It reveals to us we can blame no one for anything, because it puts firmly back in our court the ball of opportunity to know the truth that makes us free. The indulgence and the luxury of the human scapegoat to be able to blame all and sundry for our state and condition is denied us. And in that denial exists the blessing that will reveal the truth of our being. It's sometimes a hard and a bitter pill to swallow. It's so much easier. Oh, well, I had a deprived childhood, and blame everything for how I now am on them. Or someone did or said this to me that makes me as I am now. That is not the case. That is part of the evidence of sense testimony that confirms the existence of what it is we all suffer from. The universal belief in a selfhood apart from God, either ourselves or someone else. And fortunately, it's never us who are at fault. It's always someone else, and someone else has always caused it, has always done it. And we feel safe in the assurance that we are not responsible for how we are. And that is not how it is. Because there is only one, and you are that one. There is none other, there has never been another. And what came to me during my meditation this morning was that we are given an exercise today that we must all engage in. So often, in revelation, just as infinity is in the here and eternity in the now, the oak tree is in the acorn. So much is contained in something that seems so little and so simple, we may tend to discard the application and the practice of something which seems so simple, and not follow and not pursue and not follow through with the seed of momentum of the gift of spirit. But I want us to do that today, because what came to me was to say to you, I want you to unsee me. Even as I will unsee you. Humanly, we may squirm a little bit, because the personality in us all, imposed on us all, is never comfortable when it isn't given due credit or recognized for the good it feels it has attained. or the sympathy it feels it needs. But this day on earth, as it is in heaven, we are going to unsee each other and see where that takes us. See what that reveals to us about who we are individually and about who everyone so-called else is. In 1976, when I first started to work with Lorraine Sinclair, I said something rather to her, and she said something back, and I said, well, that's all very well, you saying that. You don't know me. She said, I know you better than you do. Humanly, I thought, well, that's odd. She doesn't know me. But that was the human me. That was the one who, throughout years subsequently, was to suffer it to be so now, whilst personal sense takes such a battering, little realizing if it could just release itself, it would find its total freedom in the eye of universal being. But we hang in there and hold on for dear life, maintaining ourselves in that sense of life that we think is real and we think is ours. It's that self-preservation without which the human ego struggles to survive. And yet we are told this day that we must unsee one another. So when Lorraine said that to me, clearly there is something in us all that knows us better than we do. There is that all-knowing, which is the nature, omniscience, which is the nature of the I, of infinite individual being through its oneness with God. There is that in us all. The hem of the robe of which we must touch while we are here. If we have already brought that realization with us, we have brought it to share. The vine consumeth not its own grapes, Joel said. The gift given you is not for you alone, but to share. But to realize the truth that you are aware of about your own being as the truth of all being. And when Jesus said that tree of the knowledge of good and evil, don't even waste time with it, but lay the axe at the root of it. We are not going to waste time with the good and the evil, the sick and the well, the rich and the poor, the male and the female, the young and the old. All of these qualities of the human dream with which we are mesmerically identified, which is not you, and that I within us all knows better than we, it is not you. And it invites us to step out into a realm of light in which no darkness, no duality, no opposites of this world, no material sense, no physical sense of good or evil, sick or well, exist as a condition, because only I am. The light that lived and moved among them, though they knew him not, lives in the world, in you, now, and demands. The Lord thy God is a jealous God. It will not give any of its fruitage and light to a mortal to go and claim, to let the ego claim, this is me, I'm very spiritual. No way. There have been those who have gone that way, and they have fallen away. Because there is that in us all that demands of us all that we go beyond us all. We have to leave ourselves at the gate if we are to enter into the kingdom. So that process of dying daily and being reborn of the spirit, that process of denying thyself is no process of denial whatsoever. Jesus said, I am not come to deny the law, but to fulfill the law of the prophets. I am come, he said, to show you the way it has forever been and will forever be, in you now and always, if so be the Spirit of God dwell in you. But it does. Yet in us all also coexists this universal belief in a selfhood apart from God, and it is that sense of a selfhood apart from God. It is the sense of having a physical body when we don't, that is going to be unseen. Jesus said, stay awake and pray with me 1 hour. I want you to unsee me, for me and for you, even as I will unsee you. And this is not just for now. This is not just between us. This is forever and for always and for all men for all time, because the whole earth groaneth and travaileth for the coming of those who are able to unsee the evidence of the senses that presents at best a good illusion. But we are not interested in changing anything within the realm of the illusion, from bad to good, from sick to well, healing, as Joel says in the Living the Infinite Way, is the awareness of God being. It's nothing whatsoever to do with changing anything in the realm of effect, because when you know me as I am, and that is what we are invited to do this day, you will be satisfied. And when you are satisfied, what fault can you see or find in me? When you are satisfied, when you know me as I am, who is it you are knowing but your own self? And there is only one, and you realize because of its omnipresence there can be no other presence about which you need to take thought, fear, or be concerned. So that is our invitation this day. Unsee me. Unsee what seems to be. Unsee the human being. Unsee the physical sense. Unsee material sense. Unsee mortality. And thereby come into the awareness of the vision of the reality of true identity as immortal being. We live and move and have our being in God. Doesn't look that way. But these opportunities to come together with our varied talents and our varied gift, glean from this teaching and that teaching, this teacher and that teacher, hours and days and years and months and lifetimes of struggle to hang in there. I remember Lorraine also saying to me at one time, you've got it. Hang in there. Didn't seem as if I had anything except struggle and toil, slings and arrows of mortal material belief, the pain of the flesh, the thorns in the flesh. But she said, you've got it. And I trusted in her word. Because the evidence of the senses always, throughout thousands of years, has always appeared in the same way. The armies of the aliens, they've got everything they need, we've got nothing. The grass is always greener on the other side. Whichever way we look at it, whatever the syndrome of our human experience, however it seems to be, there's always someone better off. There's always someone who's done nothing to deserve what they've got, but they've got it all. And we seek this truth and we've got nothing. See through, unsee the hypnotism, the grave clothes of the tomb of mortality. Because that's all it is. Never mind what science tells you. Never mind what the evidence of sense testimony discovers. Constant discovery, one thing after another, forever, and it will go on forever, until such time as he is come, whose right it is, when even the mind of the scientist will be at peace in the realization of oneness. When all things, when all hills will be made laid low, and we will look and see those fields which are already white with harvest. There will be nothing to seek, there will be nothing to find, there will be nothing to discover. There will be just the eternal revelation of man's true identity as spirit to share and to reveal. Whatever you do in this life, fulfill it unto the nth degree. Always knowing there is something behind it that is eventually going to push that aside and come through and reveal a greater purpose in you. And what is that? To unsee. Not even study what you do see, but to unsee, to see through the evidence of the senses. We are all mesmerized. We are all totally hypnotized by the illusion of mortality. Joel says we must neither hate, fear, nor love anything in the realm of effect. We love the qualities of God shown forth through one here, one there, through the flowers, the trees, the creation. But never give power to that which appears as the evidence of this world, but unsee the appearance. So let us have a look. If I am to unsee you, I have to first, physician, heal thyself. I have to unsee me. Humanly, I can't see you. The unseen you. The human eyes cannot see God's creation. You created in the image and likeness of God. And there is none other, because God made all that was made, and all that God made is good, and that which God did not make was not made. So let's not waste time with what was not made. The hypnotism of a material sense of life that evidences good and bad and sick and well and the opposites of this world, birth and death, duality. Let us lay the axe at the root now. Don't let your mind say, yes, but I'm going to hang on. No, while we are here, if any man hath aught against this, by all means let him speak now. If not, accept this as the discipline of the day given us by consciousness, that it might reveal consciousness to consciousness, that we might recognize ourselves in one another, that we might love our neighbor as ourself, because there is only one self. Let us release this illusion of division and separation, mortality as reality and duality as a condition, and see through the hypnotism, this red sea that seems impenetrable and impassable. Let us realize consciousness doesn't have to see through anything. It doesn't have to open out anything. It knows nothing other than its own omnipresence and its own freedom. It says, well, if it were to speak in such a way, who are you seeing? There is only I. And beside me there is none other. There is no other creator. But the mental creation, the second chapter, of Genesis presents us with the mental creation, and we are going to release that second chapter and come back to omnipresent being, where there is only one. So first and foremost, let me realize about myself. And this is you. I am. Of that I am in no doubt. I am here. Now, of that I am in no doubt. But releasing the evidence of sense testimony, time and space, here, in consciousness, as consciousness, I am. It is never not now, and so now is eternal being, if we can but be here now, staying in the now, keeping our mind stayed on the now. Taking no thought for those thought forms that appear as the mortal. But ceasing from that man whose breath is in his nostrils, for wherein is he to be accounted of? We're not even going to take thought for that. This day, on earth, as it is in heaven, we are going to see only I. The one I, in and of us all. The one I that unites us all in a spiritual and a holy union of one presence, one life, one mind, one intention to know this truth. Let there be no resistance, for that one mind contains no resistance to itself. Let that light of omnipresent being shine and dissolve the illusion of two powers so that there is no darkness anywhere in omnipresence. Then we have no darkness to grapple with, to fear, to resist, to try to change or get rid of or to improve or remove. Because in omnipresence there is only I. There is only one. And I am that. This is you. There is no time to the I am that I am. There is no process required in which any change need take place, because the end already is from the beginning. In the I am that I am, the Alpha and the Omega are one. There is no separation, there is no beginning, there is no birth or birthing process. Such is the illusion of mortality. There is only eternal being. Forever present in the fullness and the completeness of God's glory, of God's presence, within and as the I that you are. So let us begin by putting off the mortal. Let us not even look back to the old city, the old man. Let us from this day forward, henceforth, know ye no man after the flesh, but after the Spirit. This is an exercise. It is an activity. It is a discipline. It is a challenge to stay awake and pray with me 1 hour. But let that hour be a pray without ceasing. Joel says this is not a bookshelf philosophy. We don't get it down, think how wonderful it is and put it back. We live it. We all live it. I have known people here for over 20 years who have never ceased to give their lives to living it. It doesn't mean, as Joel says, life is now all harps and roses and cloud nines, because it isn't always that way. But none can claim to have fully attained, and as St. Paul said, that which I would do, I still sometimes do not, and that which I would not do, I still do. But forgetting all of that, letting all of that go. These are but the waters of a material Red Sea that seem to stand in my way. What can stand in my way? When there is only one, and I am that. And remember, this is you. Joel said, even the Christ you see is the Christ you be. Were you not it because you stand in front of a mirror of now, you could not see it or hear it. Given ears, they hear not, and given eyes, they see not. Such is the natural man. In us all, out of which we are evolving, we are sloughing off the mortal skin and walking on in divine awareness of our oneness with God, of our being as no less than the fullness of the reality the world calls God, which is I Am. The universal I Am. There is none other. There is no God and there is no I and God. There is just one I and the Father are one. So we begin this process of unseeing by putting off the mortal in ourselves. This is the work given us to do in the midst of everything else. And in the infinite way, it's called impersonalization. And oh, don't those opportunities to apply that basic principle present. It's so hard to loose him and let him go, the appearance of man, in the acknowledgement of the reality of his true, invisible, incorporeal omnipresence, as forever one with God. It's so hard because we are all hypnotized into this universal belief in a selfhood apart from God. It's an imposition of material sense. It is not a reality. It is not a creation. It is not an identity, and it is not a condition. So even as Gautama Buddha discovered, well-meaning as he was, that in his attempt to find the secret to rid the world of sin, sickness, disease, poverty, and death, he discovered in this world there's really no answer to that problem. Almost in desperation and exhaustion, as he sat beneath the Bodhi tree, the depth and degree of his own spiritual dimension overshadowed him. And therein was contained the revelation of the nature of the appearance realm. He didn't have to change anything. He didn't have to find a secret to remove anything. The secret itself reveals the nothingness of that which appears as. And if we are willing to loose him and let him go, this appearance realm, if we are willing to allow that nothing upon which he hangeth the earth to take the place of the everything that seems to be, we shall be fulfilling all righteousness. It's the most impossible task for the human mind. It comprehendeth not the things of God. But the Spirit says, lean not unto thine own understanding. That's just another human obligation and sense of responsibility that we humanly have to understand. Instead of, cease ye from that man whose breath is in his nostrils. Take no thought for your life, for in the moment ye think not. Not only the Son of Man cometh, the Son of Man who has never not been come, is come. He is never not come, even as you are never not come, as you will never not be, because of who you are. The I Am that I Am. This is unseeing the evidence of the senses, born of a belief in two powers, a mesmeric suggestion, a state of hypnotism. There is no water in the mirage. You can't drink it and you can't drown in it. It's neither good nor evil. There's no water there. All that is there is what is really there, the way, the path. And no appearance must be allowed to stop the ongoing unfoldment of the consciousness we are Godward. We are states of emancipation, sloughing off the limitations of belief. Women can't do this, men can't do that, this can't do this. Let us become emancipated from this world and live free in spirit. That is unseeing one another. Even as I within you unsee you, Jesus may well have said, now go ye and do likewise even as I have done unto you. He said, It's all now, because eternity is now. Nothing that was ever spoken from truth is not true now and is not being spoken now. It may have a different form. Don't be fooled, it's the same truth. It's the same revelation of the same identity of the one and only, beside which there has never been any other. You are that. Go back 5,000-10,000 years to the Sanskrit. Tatvamasi, thou art that. Has that message changed? Why not? Because that which is real remains changeless from everlasting to everlasting. There is no time in which anything can change. There is nothing from which that which is can change. Nothing into which it can change. Because it is the one and only. And you are that one and only. Welcome to one and all, we hear people say. How true that is. We are welcoming the Spirit of God into this now moment to remove and heal us of the illusion of a sense of separation from each other, and let the realization of oneness establish in all of us the love of God, for God, and for each other. Because that loving of each other is the loving of our own self. How can we do anything less than love that self when we know that self in us all is God? This is nothing to do with psychology. It's nothing to do with mind. But through the blessing of the avenue of the clarity of stillness in the mind, the reflection of that which is beheld. That is why we are told to stand ye still and see the salvation of the Lord. Who is the doer when only I am? Is there another who can do? Or do I not appear as all the doing that has ever been done? So shall it forever be. And man will forever be an avenue and an instrument of divine expression, forever revealing new and greater ideas of creative blessing to mankind. But it is not contained in and cannot be contrived by the human mind. Because at best the human mind is an avenue of argument. It finds it so hard to agree as to its nothingness, its non-power. It finds it so hard to surrender its sense of existence, to impose itself on us and direct us and influence us and determine the course of our actions. Such is the nature of the human mind. It's like a runaway horse, and we have to pull back in on the reins and say, no, you are not going to drag me hither and yon according to universal belief in a selfhood apart and the existence and operation of two powers in the realm of effect. That may well seem to be the case in the realm of effect, but I am going to pull in on those reins. I am going to harness that power, reassert dominion, and realize in omnipresence there is only one. And I am that one. If this hits up against anything in you, try to allow it to happen. Resist it not. Don't let mental resistance deny you the awareness of the living Christ. Presence. Accept the gift of God now and unsee what you see with the eyes and know me as I am, even as I know you, as I am. For there is only one. You are that one, and this is not vain repetition. How many times do we need to be reminded of who we are? Until such time as realization dawns and a new day comes into being, a new dispensation, a new millennium, is invited in to the world of human consciousness, that it might operate to will and to do unto its good pleasure. It has to go out to the far corners of the earth. There must not be denial through judgment. Discernment sees through the objectionable appearance to the heart of the matter, to the heart of matter, which is spirit. Who then judges? And whom then would we judge? When we know spirit is I am, even as consciousness is what I am, and beside me there is none other. So let us cease from all judgment by the appearance, for as you judge, so are you judged. No one is doing it to us. We said this at the beginning of this talk. No one is doing anything to us. We have the total gift of freedom to choose ye this day whom you will serve. God, Spirit, I, the Universal One, timeless, changeless, ever-present, birthless, deathless, too pure to behold iniquity, the very presence of the living God? Or are we seeing another? Whom do you say, I am, Jesus said to Peter. I know who everyone else says. And I know what the evidence of sense testimony says. 10,000 on one side and 5,000 on the other is an overwhelming odds. If you believe it. But whom do you say I am? That is the challenge of vision. That is the unseeing invitation. The invitation to unsee who I appear as. And know me as I am, the eternal, immortal, invisible, incorporeal one, the self that you are. We are one self. There is none outside of your own self. Yourself reflects back to you the truth you hear about you and recognizes itself. And therein exists the possibility of letting go of material sense. We don't have to dither and fiddle with any of it. We lay the axe at the root. We just let it go. From the standpoint of I. That is why the very first part of Infinite Way meditational practice is entertaining the letter of truth. It's something some of us struggle with. But the moment we begin quietly to contemplate these revelations of eternal truth and remind ourselves, we begin to experience the fruits of that practice. We are not just absolutists, though the truth is radical. It lays the axe at the root of that which appears as this world in its entirety. We're not concerned with changing, healing, reforming, or removing our elbow or our toe or our back or our bottom or our head or our foot. We are concerned with seeing through the entire illusion of mortality. Joel said the second coming of Christ will not be as an individual. It will be universal Christ consciousness. And we are all invited to allow that to fill our awareness and wash us away, that it might become this day on earth as it is in truth, in heaven, here, now. There is no here and somewhere else. There is no now and some other time. If we could but expand the horizons of this limited sense of physical being, of mortal, material sense, we would but see we are that eternal one, the life of all living, the substance of all being, the creative impartation within all doing, the manifestation of all activity. One power, one presence, and one activity, all contained within and as the fullness of the expression of the consciousness that you are. Never externalize your good or your need. What if something you need is outside you and you can't get to it? Everything you will ever need is already embodied within and as the I that you are. You just need to go to the source. And where? Within the I that you are. And find a way to give expression to the flow of that hidden manna which contains those living waters that alone can nourish the heart, the mind, and the soul of man. The world will tell us it's got everything we need. It'll sap us dry of every penny we've got if we chase the tail of that dog. If we really believe our good is dependent on or can be denied by something that exists in the realm of effect, we're always out there trying to chase that carrot on a stick. We will never get there. We will never get it because it will always be one step beyond us. Because it's hypnotism. There is no it. And the fact that we chase it, believe it, fear it, simply evidences the fact that we are still mesmerized by it. And so we are now laying the axe at the root by unseeing that which is appearing as this world. Right where this world, here, there, or anywhere else, him, her, or anyone else, seems to be I am. I fill all space. I am the reality of all being. I am the one and only life. Nothing happens to, nothing ever has happened to, the ever-present perfection that is the only presence of that one life I within you am. Give up the ghost. Don't fear it. Don't need it. You will never be denied by it because it isn't. There is no white poodle there that can bite you or lick you. But you see, we fear the bite and we love the lick. We're totally mesmerized by the duality of this world. We love some of it, and that's the bit. If only we could get this balance of duality onto the side of good and healthy and wealthy, all would be well. No. Joel owed $150. You all know this story, but this isn't vain repetition. You have to live it. We all have to live it. You know, we're all given the same truth. We're all given the same opportunity. Oh, if only I had more time. No one is given any more time than anybody else. It's what you do with it. No one is given any more supply than anyone else. It's what you do with it. What if someone has 1,000,000 acorns? I've got 1,000,000 acorns in my cupboard, and you've only got one, but you sow yours. In no time, it's the tortoise and the hare, isn't it? In no time, this person who's got all of this material good, and Joel said he's known millionaires who couldn't even swallow a mouth of food. What profiteth it a man to gain the whole world and not be able to unsee the hypnotism of it? That is our invitation this day. That is the invitation to the feast that went. It said the invitation went out far and wide, but few there were able to accept it. Oh, I don't want to go there. I want to hold on to what I've got. I don't want to give anything. I don't want to let it all go at the door and trust in what I know not. I'm not ready. And some aren't, but that's fine. Every knee shall bend. There are those in whom it is not yet time. But you, my disciples, Jesus said, of you I expect more. I expect that by now, given 2,000 years of opportunity and practice, you are willing to begin to live the life that I have lived before you. I have gone before you to prepare a place and make crooked places straight. What more do I need do? Consciousness says to us all. You must learn to listen if you would hear the silence speak as to who you are and what you really have. Getting back to what Joel owed. He owed $150. And he looked through his accounts, he thought, that's a relief, I'm owed $150. And he went to bed thinking, all is well, because I owe $150, and I'm owed $150. I'm okay. And he was woken in the night, and he was told, you are not okay, because you owe $150. And you are owed $150. That is not the balance of being at all. You are okay because you have found me. I, within you, am the source of all you will ever need. Silver and gold have I none, but such as I have, give I unto thee. And we must begin this flow of our own withinness that is the love of God, the substance that alone can satisfy the mind, the heart, the soul, the body of man, and then minister unto my sheep and tend my flock in everything we do. If you minister with your hands, know that these are the hands of God, communicating the love of God. Bringing into this world the healing power of God. If you serve in any capacity, in a hospital, in a school, in a store, anywhere, your fellow man, your family, your offspring, your partner, whoever, just know that whatsoever thou doest unto the very least of these, my brethren, thou doest unto me, and whatsoever thou doest not, thou doest not unto me, but I am you. So any withholding denies who? The withholder. Because there is only one. So find a way to give and to share your heart and your soul in service. For if a man thinks he loves God and doesn't love his fellow man, if he thinks he's serving God and is not serving God, appearing as his fellow man, he's fooling himself. That denial then becomes the lie which is the father of all other lies, and personal sense takes over. We then become a branch of a tree that is cut off, that withers and dies, instead of realizing, neither was I ever born, nor shall I ever die, for I am eternal being, and out of the infinity of the invisible resources of the consciousness I am, I give and give and give and give, and I never, ever run dry. Ever. Out of what appears as the desert shall blossom the rose of love. That perfect love that casteth out fear. You might be with someone who is sick. All within the realm of effect, but how you are determines the power of that moment to deny or release man from the illusion of mortality. How you are, Emerson said, shout so loud, I can't hear what you say. Don't talk words to me. Be it. Don't try and give it. Live it. And then release man, whose breath is in his nostrils. For wherein is he unseen and unclothed to be accounted of? For right where that appearance seems to be, that mental mesmeric influence of the carnal mind appearing to you as a temptation to have you accept and believe in a selfhood apart from God, sick and well and rich and poor, alive and dead and young and all of this stuff. Awake thou that sleepest, arise, and Christ will give thee omnipresent light in which you will behold the freedom of man's true eternal identity. It's nothing whatsoever to do with anything in the realm of effect. It contains no blessing and it contains no denial, because there's nothing real in it. It's hypnotism. And we are all, in varying degree, hypnotized by the mesmeric suggestion of mortality as reality. That isn't to say that you aren't, you are, but you are, I am. It is not to say I don't exist, I do as I am. But unsee the appearance and see and know me as I am, and you will be satisfied. You, within yourself, will look and behold all things made straight. All paths open before you. No obstruction. No which way shall I go but the realization of the truth that I am the way. And if I can live in the here and now, and take no thought for the there and the then, or the him or the her, or the this or the that, I live my freedom in Christ. I know him, who thou art, aright, and that allows me the privilege of the awareness of life eternal. Yes, I appear as corporeal, but don't be fooled. I appear as a certain age, but don't be fooled. Some do and don't. Some don't like what they see, but don't judge by and thereby condemn yourself to the realm of appearances. Judge righteous judgment. Don't let the Red Sea of the mesmeric influence of this world deny you. There is no power to nothing. It cannot deny you the freedom of your omnipresence. Ever. So let us accept that which is required of us this day to unsee me, we require that of one another, each one of us, every one of us, says to us all, unsee me this day. There is always then the chance that you will know me as I am and be satisfied. Such an irony and such a paradox that this is a deepening of the stillness with which we began this class. It doesn't look that way, but it is. Thank you.